this meeting to order. Would everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to welcome everybody tonight that has come. Next on the agenda is going to be roll call, and we have all council members here tonight. And after that is citizen input. If you would like to address the council, please raise your hand. I'll acknowledge you, and you come to the mic and give us your name and address, and we'll give you up to 5 minutes. Is there anybody here that would like to address the council on a council issue? Where?
No. Can you stand for a matter?
Okay, so no citizens to address the council? Okay. Then do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay, Mark's first. Eugene seconded. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, and that passes. Okay, consent agenda. Everybody had a chance to go through that? It's fairly big this time. Do I hear a motion to accept the consent agenda, or is there questions?
I'll make the motion to accept the consent agenda.
Okay, Johnson, motion to accept consent agenda.
I'll second.
Charles, second. Any question or discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same. Okay, then that passes. Next is current business. Consideration of pursuing a professional service agreement for the position of contract lobbyist and government relations consultant. Spencer, you got a lead on that?
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. A few weeks ago, Scott Cape came to Council and he presented his services and what he could do for the city as a lobbyist and a governmental relations consultant for the city. Tonight, what I have before you is a potential contract that he's submitted to us where we can contract for his services. So tonight we want to discuss some of the services that he can provide us and see what would work best for the city. There were a couple of things that he provided us with. One was a letter where he recants some of the specific projects that the city went to him with, and some of the things that we'd like him to work on, first of all. There were a couple things in there. There's a 14th Street reconstruction and improvement project, and the second one was the State Route 24 and Broadway Industrial Water and Sewer Project. There are a couple others. These are the two that he mentioned specifically in his letter to us, where he's sharing with us the specific services that he can provide. And the another document that is also attached on board docs that you can see is an agreement with him. In the agreement, he talks about his rate. It'll be $100 an hour plus extra costs, other expenses, things that lodging, phone calls, supplies, graphics, postage, things like that. Other costs that he might incur in carrying out these duties that we've requested of him. On the memo here, I put together a couple costs and what this might look like for the city. He said if his rate is $100 an hour, and for the first few months, if he's going to charge 80 to 100 hours a month, we'd be paying in between $8,000 and $12,000 a month for his services. He let us know that the hours that he would need to spend on our projects would be about 80 to 120 hours a month, at least to begin with, and that would get him up and running for next year. In his letter, he also let us know that he's aware that we have a budget that we have to stick with, and this might be difficult for our budget. So if we want to reduce the number of projects that he's going to be working on, that would have an effect on the $8,000 to $12,000 $1 a month, so we cut that down significantly. As far as budget, where we could pay for these projects, if he's going to be working on funding projects for a street project, we would want to pay for him, pay his fees out of the street fund or the water fund, whichever fund is going to be benefiting from the projects that he's going after, the funding that he's going after. Are there any specific questions?
I guess I have some comments. I'm not really in favor of spending $8,000 to $12,000, so I'll just let that know right up front. When Ken and I were visiting with him, he did mention that we do need to get started, if we want to hire him, we need to get started at moving that direction now, because he prepares representatives and the senators of the state for what our needs are and stuff by visiting with him, showing them our, you know, that's by having Susan Fagan here last week and taking her all around town, showing her the projects and stuff. She took a lot of notes. That helps her, helps support us going after money to support our project as a community. And that's sort of what Scott would be doing also. But I asked her and Joe both, Representative Fagan and Schmick, are they worth it? I mean, do they really affect what happens around there? And both of them said yes. They bring information they never get, is what happens, about the communities, the cities in their area of responsibility that they're representing. And so they did say that, both of them said yes, you know, that it does pay off to have somebody, they thought. If you looked at the thing, Quincy got about $3.2 million over by having Scott represent them so far. We tried to have Quincy get us information on how much they spent and things like that, but we haven't received it yet. My thought on the whole deal was to limit him to $5,000 or $6,000 total, all his expenses and everything, you know what I mean, and maybe pick one project until the end of the year and then see what our payoff is, you know, see what he's done for us and report back every month to us and see what's happening. That was my thought on the whole deal, and see if this is something we really want to continue pursuing next year and sign a contract for the year or whatever. But some of the things that he also had mentioned is, anything here that stands out to me. Yeah, he spends a lot of time just communicating with people and stuff, letting them know. But any comments, feelings from council?
I really think we need a person like this, because I know Scott spends a lot of time over in Olympia, and he not only contacts our own representative, but he's working with all the representatives within the state. Larry, and I think you've worked with Scott Cape before, and you would recommend having somebody like this?
Yes. I agree with him. Very important with a lot of the typical funding sources lying around, if you will, published by possibly energy, other sources not being available for the communities. Appropriations, I think, are an asset. That was a charge of the paper that we met. Instead of appropriations, are even a larger amount than that would have to be used. And those are
I was kind of taken by the amount really quick, and I believe, like Tim, we should set a budget for him to work within, and I think he could do that with a budget that we that one.
And limit ourselves to one or two projects at a time.
As Tim said, I sat in that same meeting with Scott, and I've known Scott for many years, and he's done a lot of good for the Guama program, as well as I think he's been with Quincy for the last 5 years, something like that. And you definitely need a voice over there. I mean, you think you just go over there and you talk to legislators, but a lot of those projects happen way before you ever get into legislature. They start out in the committees, as most of you know, and then they work their way up the line. And if you don't get your say in there early, you're almost a wash by the time you get to the legislative time and are in the actual budgets. And I think we definitely need somebody there. I know a few of us, we go over and talk to some of the legislators once in a while, and we talk to them here and there. But it's not near as effective as a lobbyist that's actually there for that job. It makes a big difference. Like what you're saying, budget-wise, I know we were kicking around a figure there about $5,000 a month was about what he was kicking around for this portion of the period of time, which would be, even if we start October, that's still $15,000. I think if we limit it, like you say, to say not over $5,000 to $8,000 for the year, and then look at it at that time and then develop what we need to do for 2014. So I think we definitely need a voice over there.
I don't disagree that we need somebody, but I mean, I guess I'd like to know too, what does it end up averaging out, like Quincy, you know, they're saying it's going to be high starting out, you know, while he's getting everything together, and then it'll level out. I'd like to know what that level out is. And is there anybody else out there that we should talk to first, you know, before we, you know, jump on the first person, you know, bandwagon?
Giselle called Quincy. You want to report what they said about it?
I only received information that he charges $90 an hour plus expenses, and that he's been very beneficial for the city, and the mayor and the city administrator enjoy working with him. They like him a lot. And he's done some big amounts of money, in the millions of dollars for the city. And I think they've had him for about 5 years.
Add a little more to that, too. I think Scott's a pretty good person because he knows our area. He's lived here in Ritzville for something like 23 years. And he knows the area. He knows our problems and our wants. Like I say, he worked with Guama. He knows the four counties very well. And he's worked in that. He knows the right people to talk to over there. There's a lot of lobbyists out there. I know some from Seattle, some from Olympia, and a few others. But most of them work with a group, and they just designate a job to somebody, and that's your job. They're lobbyists, but they're a group bunch of lobbyists, and they just push jobs off to each lobbyist they think they can do the best job. Where I think Scott is kind of an all-around person. He may not know it all in one particular phase of it, but he does know enough people, and he knows enough about each portion of what our needs are with things here in East of Washington, and I think that's a plus for him. I mean, we can go out and shop, do whatever you want to. You're going to come back the same price or higher, I think, on the overall. But I've seen Scott work over in Olympia, and he does a pretty good job.
Still ought to, you know, do our due diligence in checking everything out and getting some of these numbers back and some concrete, you know, what all, you know, legislatively he's done and what a track record of it. I mean, found out about this Friday. You know, as far as this, you know, coming in, and then I'd like to, especially for that amount, and that I'd like to see you know, a little more options.
Would you like to see some other lobbyists, I mean, so you're looking for it?
Or at least, yeah. At least at a minimum, table it till, you know, the next meeting, and let's, you know, check out on some the pricing and get our solid answers back from Quincy like we were supposed to, or not supposed to, but, you know, like we wanted to, you know, and maybe from some other cities and see, you know, if they're using somebody different, what they're paying and so forth.
I kind of think like Eugene does. I was thinking table it until the last meeting of the month. That'll give us a couple of weeks to get some information and do some research into what's going on, and then we can make a decision. And then if we make that decision at the end of the month, well, then we can start in at the beginning of the next month. So I kind of feel like Eugene would table it and do some more investigation.
I'd like to table it just for the mere fact I want to see how many projects he takes on at one point. You know,
representing three people right now, three cities,
and how many of
them are fairly busy. He said he only take one more on in our meeting. He said only do one more city because I can't handle any more than that, he said. So we know that much from him. He said that in the meeting that we had with him, so Ken and I. I think he's doing three right now. And then he said, I'd like to do four, and that's max. I don't go beyond that. Feels like he cannot represent the communities that he's representing well enough. He has more than that. So sure, we'll get more information. That's what the council wants then. Okay.
And
we'll bring it back.
Mayor, just as a comment, if I could, the draft agreement that was included in the packet would, from my end, need some revision before council authorized executing an agreement like that. It's lacking in some areas.
I guess when we come back, then come with a thought in your mind how much you're willing to spend till the end of the year. I'd like to see us just do a 3-month contract, and then we take a hard look at it next year and see what we think. That's me personally. I don't know how you feel about it. But.
Well, is 3 months long enough? Is he going to be able to get something done in 3 months? I mean, do we judge it on the fact
report
that he
back
is?
To us and tell him what's going on.
Well,
we'll start to get all the information.
See, yeah, he's got to start putting stuff together because the legislature will go into session the second week of January, and then that's when his real work starts. There's a lot of committees, subcommittees, and everything else for some of the projects that we've got that he's got to make. He's got a lot of prep work to do, and then a lot of work starts as soon as the legislative goes into session. So, you know, and that's 3 months, the legislative session. So we're looking at least 6 months. That we, the remainder of this year, then probably the first 3 months of the year, for at least the first session of the legislature next year.
Because yeah, he'll come here and he'll spend time right here looking at the projects, understanding the budget, what's going on, so when he goes there, he's really in tune, or whoever we hire, but in tune with what our desires are, our needs are, and where we're going with the projects, so. And to sell the projects. Like 14th, we can sell the fact that there's a lot of children, three schools, you know, all the things that I would think we'd get money for.
Will we table it for a week and let the attorney investigate and make any changes in the contract that she feels need to be done for the protection of the city, and give us a chance to get a little more information out of Quincy and maybe a couple other cities that he's worked with, and then come back in a week and we'll make a decision. I'd rather see that happen. That's my move.
I'll second that.
And it probably would
should
be good to
go to the 23rd, shouldn't
some other lobbyists in their
probably 2 weeks.
Maybe 2 weeks?
I think we should do the 2 weeks because that would be the
23rd.
Two weeks, though.
Okay, 2 weeks. Because we've got them. Yeah, okay.
So I'll say the motion again.
Move we table this item for 2 weeks so that the attorney and staff can make any changes in the contract. Check the city and get us a chance to get some other information from other cities is what we're doing.
I second that motion.
Charles seconded already.
Oh.
So, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed the same? Okay. And we'll get to work. Okay. Okay, do we have any unfinished business? Thank you, Spencer. New business?
couple of issues here. I guess it's new business. We've got a couple situations here in town that I would think that we ought to take a second look at. I don't know whether our codes are not strong enough as far as buildings concerned anymore in town or what's going on for sure. But we've got two different projects that I don't think's quite right, and I can't remember of anything coming to the council as a variance. And we've got two specific issues right now, and I can name a whole bunch more. I'm not saying anything bad about our building department, but I think that we've got to look at some of these and either change the codes or straighten up some things. The two situations I'm talking about, there's been a house put in on 6th Street, just south of Elm. There's a corner lot, and then there was an existing house on 6th, and they've shoved the house in between those two. And I thought we had a rule that they had to be at least 10 feet between house to house or whatever if you're on a lot. I guess that doesn't take effect if you straddle a piece of property and half the house is on one side of the lot, the other half's on the other. The situation is, you've got about 2 feet between the eaves, these two houses. On top of that, you've got two lots, basically, of what they're on. And it goes over your 72 square feet or 7,200 square feet per lot, per house. I don't think that's quite right on this particular spot. If you want to look at it a little deeper, take your 35% coverage on a lot. I think we're crowding that, so I think it should be looked into. I haven't talked to Darrell yet.
I think, I'm not sure. I think those are the houses they're attaching together. In a triplex, I think.
This one's not. This one's separate. The second one is on 2nd. This may be the one you're talking about. Is between Larch and Hemlock. I think these two houses technically belong to the housing authority. They took the house that the Avista moved, and they shoved it between the two of them. One of them jammed up against the house. Maybe they're going to add on to that. And the other one is about 5-6 feet away from the other one. And I don't think you got room on that lot because that's not a full-depth lot. And I don't think there's enough room to go back to the same 7,200 square feet per day, per housing. Unless somebody starts coming to us for variances in here, this stuff's got to stop. I can go on some more. I took a little tour around town to kind of look at some of this after I seen these two things. We've got situations where, well, one thing, our code is messed up. Take a residential lot as an R1, R2, R3, and R4, and take a look at a corner lot and the setback some places it says it has to be 20 feet from the front of the lot to the house, which is fine, that's pretty norm. But when you come to the side yard, on the R1, you have 20 feet. On an R2, you have 15 feet. And on an R3, you go back to an R1. And you go to R4, and it definitely says 20 feet. So we got a discrepancy there that we got to straighten up. I don't know if we've got a real problem with it as far as building, because I haven't taken my tape out and started measuring. But if that's what it takes, that's what I'll do. Another situation we got on, side streets, there's fencing. If you look at that code as far as our fencing, it's very big. Where do you change from a 3-foot fence to a 6-foot fence? If you've got a 6-foot fence on some of that, and it used to be a pretty well a standard of from the curb line to that fence was basically 10 feet. But we've got some of the newer areas, they're crowding that and encroached to 5 feet. In other words, you got a sidewalk and you got a fence right there and a 6-foot high fence. And that's part of the problem, why you can't see when you come around the corner in some of these areas. Take an example, there's some up on 10th Street, there's some on a couple other streets. Scootney, I think, has got one or two. And I don't know. Maybe it's the code, maybe it's not right. I mean, but that's what we've got to straighten up and look at. We've got another situation that says you can't build a building. And here it goes again, the 15 feet or the 20-foot rule. And we have got buildings that are setting within that 5 foot off that curb line. There's a building sets on 10th going toward the school. It's on school property. That's well and good. But they've got about 8 by 10 or 10 by 10 building that's built right out to the edge of the sidewalk. To me, it should be back at 20-foot rule. But there's a lot of things that's going on here in the last 2 or 3 years, and I don't know whether the codes are screwed up or whether we're just not enforcing what we got. But I just want to bring it to the council's attention, what's going on here. I got quite a list here, and if you want me to write it up for you and give you the code numbers and everything, I can do that too. But
why don't you go meet with Darrell and discuss what
we can fix up. If you'll meet with me, I'll meet with him.
Sure. I'll meet with him. No problem. Okay. Any other new business?
Yeah, just really quick. A couple weeks ago, I had a chance to go down to Public Works, and it was a long time since I've been in there, and I've seen the improvements down there, and they're really, really nice. I really got to compliment Terry and the Public Works crew on what they've did down there, and council members need to go down there. I know we've put quite a bit of money the last couple of years in the budget for improvements down there, and it's really nice to see the improvements down there, and the way it's lit up now, you could actually see it down there really well. So, yeah, you should all get a chance sometime to go down there and tour that facility and see what they did down there. So I'm really impressed with what they did.
Because they put a new roof on the outside, we know that, but they also did it on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really, really nice. They painted it, it's white, it's bright, the light, of course, the windows we know all changed. They repainted the outside, they've, you know, new carpet in the office. There's just a lot of things.
There's all new lighting through, energy efficient lighting throughout the
T8 lighting.
That's
building.
Where they fixed the walls. Together.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So it is, I encourage, like Ken said, that's a great comment to go down and see that because they did a good part of that work themselves. They just got out there and did it. It's pretty neat. And they're proud of it. That's what's really fun to see. That they're really proud of that building, what they've got there. And so it's pretty neat.
Comment? Last week we talked about the scissors. Instead of charging $20, we charge $50 deposit and then turn it back in. We talked to somebody and they suggested maybe just sell the scissors to the Chamber of Commerce for half of what we paid for them and let them worry about it. And you know, I don't know, if you charge $50 deposit, then you have to put that in a separate little file. So you got some paperwork that goes with that, some time that goes into it. And then when they bring it back, well, you got to take it back out of that file and pay them back, and you got more paperwork. And I don't know, is it really worth it to get a $50 deposit and not just sell the things and get rid of them? You don't have to, then you don't have to deal with them anymore. Let the Chamber of Commerce deal with what they, you know, what they're doing. I don't know. That was a suggestion from somebody that on the Chamber.
It was our consensus that we'd leave it like it was, which was the $20 is what we did.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. That's another option. We want to discuss it again. I guess I should have voted no.
Okay.
All
right. Okay, I have some new business here. We have the TBD election coming up for the November, and we need to get some. We need to get some information prepared for the paper, for the community, for distribution, so people understand what the TBD is. There hasn't been much talk about it. We're down to about a month, I think, when the ballots are going to come out. I guess I would like the council, if possible, if you will do this, to direct the staff to start getting the information put together so that we can get it out to the citizens and get it into the paper so that people understand, you know, what kind of money you'll make for the city, the street projects that will pay for, you know, things like that that are desperately needed in the community. But it does take a vote of the council to do that because it ties up staff time and a little bit of money. So, you know, I don't know how I'd like to talk about that a little bit as far as new business for the TBD so that we show the city supports, the city government council supports that, and get the information out there so the citizens can make their opinion or their vote and see what they want to do on it. So how do you feel on that?
Catherine, can we do that legally? Don't want to get caught somewhere.
City staff actually has to keep track of all the time and bill back the TBD because the TBD is supposed to be self-sufficient, and if we're using city staff to do TBD work, do we have to bill back the TBD?
It depends on which entity you want to take the lead in disseminating the information. If you want the council to take the lead, then it would be an expense incurred by the city. If you want the TBD to be the lead, then the TBD would have to incur the expense. The problem with having the TBD take the lead is that until there's a funding source in effect, it has no revenue stream from which to pay any of those types of expenses.
I guess my view is let's have the city take the lead. Let's get the information out there so the paper can start printing some things so the citizens understand what it's all about and what it'll do for the community. But I do have to have a motion directing. What type of motion would you like? Yeah.
Just a motion, if that's what the council wants to do, just a motion directing staff to prepare the information for the mayor.
I'll make that motion.
First, Mark second. Any more discussion or feelings about it? How do you think? But if we're going to give it beneficial to our community, we really need to get that info out there so they understand it. Favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same. Okay. Thank you. Any other new business? Okay. Mayor's announcements. The Water and Sewer Committee will be meeting tomorrow at Public Works at 10 a.m. So I assume everybody's aware of that. ACDC has moved their meeting to next Thursday, September 19th at 6 p.m. in Othello. The exact location has not yet been determined. Well, if you're part of that, there is no meeting this week. The Chamber of Commerce will be meeting on September 18th at noon at the Othello Senior Center. Okay, any other announcements before we go into executive session? Okay, the council will now adjourn an executive session. Pursuant of RCW 42.30.110, parentheses 1.1, no, that's I, discuss the legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, the governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or is likely to become a party in public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in adverse legal and financial consequences to the agency. The executive session is expected to last, how long, Kevin? Or 15 minutes? 20? 20 minutes? Okay. 20 minutes. No discussion will be taken during the executive session. So, okay, Larry stays, and I believe, and Catherine, I believe everybody else, and go out. Oh, Spencer, you need to stay, yes. And thank you, everybody. Thanks, man.